Rockland on tap, and see as you make your way north. Not too bad, though, 95 in either direction. Hutch northbound is slow up by the Cross County Parkway. Metro North is fine. No delays for the B-Line buses. Our new update is brought to you by Lawrence Hospital Center. At Lawrence Hospital Center, parents-to-be find excellent maternity care that's close to home. For a referral to a Lawrence obstetrician, call 914-787-5000 or visit lawrencehealth.org. And for Check 90 Forecast, we check in with meteorologist Tommy Ells.
Our weather pattern will continue to remain rather tranquil with no major storms or cold air outbreaks. Tonight, those clouds will return with patchy fog down around 40 to 45. After morning clouds and fog tomorrow, becoming partly sunny, 55 to 60. Mainly clear Friday night in the upper 30s. Saturday, a few degrees cooler, sunny near 50. But then quickly warming back to 60 on Sunday with hazy sunshine. This is meteorologist Tommy Ells from the WFAS Weather Center.
Thanks so much, Tommy. Lots more soft favorites coming your way, as well as Bernie the Attorney and guest right here on Westchester Soft Favorites AM 1230 WFAS.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman
Hoof. Oh, wait a minute. AM 1230 WFAS, Westchester's soft favorites, and now it's time for Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Welcome, both of you.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and we're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week our guest is Joan Millicone, and Joan is the director of the Pace Women's Justice Center Westchester Division. Welcome, Joan.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bernie. Thank you.
It is so great to have you here. And by the way, this is our final show of 2006. Then we go off to enjoy the holidays with our families. Tell us about the Pace Women's Justice Center. What is it?
The Pace Women's Justice Center was founded in 1991 by Michael Dowd as the Pace Battered Women's Justice Center. And it started as a very small organization with two or three attorneys. And since then, it has really grown in size.
And what do these attorneys do there?
We essentially represent victims of domestic violence. We have attorneys in the courthouses in White Plains and in Yonkers. We work with the police all over Westchester County. We help women get orders of protection. We help them with custody issues and other related matters. We have a very extensive program of services.
How do you generally find out that something's going on inside somebody's personal household?
One of the things the center provides is a helpline, and the phone rings all day with callers who have heard about us or our services through word of mouth or through the brochures that are available. And we also have the walk-in centers at the courthouses. The judges know about us. People get referred to us.
And how do you know if a referral is credible or not?
We essentially talk to the woman, meet with her. We feel that we're certainly able to assess her credibility, and we go forward with the case if we feel we can represent her.
So only after meeting with the victim, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Is a decision then made to go forward with the next step.
To represent them in court. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So then the Justice Center itself would be that person's lawyer?
That's right.
And is there a fee involved?
There is no fee involved for the services, for most of the services that we provide. Most of the services are free. There are... there is one program called the Moderate Means Matrimonial Program, and that program does involve a fee.
And is there an income or asset test, or somebody with $1 million can get these free services?
If someone needs an order of protection, it doesn't matter how much money they have. The service is free.
Okay, so an order of protection. So what that would mean, and again, I want to make sure all of our listeners are aware of this very important benefit that they can avail themselves of right here in Westchester County. That's where you go in front of a judge and mm-hmm. you prove your case?
You go in front of the judge with your situation and the papers that we have prepared, and generally the judge will issue a temporary order of protection. Often there's also a temporary custody order if there are children involved. Then there is a return date. The party on the other side has to get served and has to show up in court on the return date. And, of course, we only represent women for orders of protection. So he then does get a chance to present his case.
So at
that point, either a permanent order will be issued or it will get dismissed.
Is it a problem from the time period where the husband or the male companion gets served with the notice, and then there must be a time period between that point in time and the time when there's a court date? Is that a dicey period where there may be repercussions for actually filing the order?
That's the most dangerous time. That's absolutely the most dangerous time.
So what do you advise women to do in that period?
Every woman has to assess her own situation. Some women do not go forward with an order of protection for precisely that reason, because they may decide that it's not the right time, that it's too dangerous. It's a very personal decision. Often someone will come into the family court legal program 2, 3, 4 times and not go forward. Think about it, change their minds, but that's not unusual. It's a very difficult situation. And they're free to come back whenever.
And there's no way they can get any police protection without going through with this.
If something is happening in the house and it's violent, they call the police. And the police come, and the police in general are trained to assess the situation. And if they determine that the man is the primary aggressor, then they will escort him. They will escort him out.
Now, you know.
So, you know, it's tough and it's dangerous, but the police, the level of awareness of the police in Westchester has been very good.
Do they take training courses, the police?
They do.
And are you guys involved in that?
We sometimes are, yes. Yes, we work closely with the police at this point, and it's one of the things that our grants has allowed us to do. We had a program called Deter, which worked for about 3 years. It was a 24/7. We had lawyers with beepers on, and if the police got called in the middle of the night, any time, they'd go to the house, they'd assess the domestic violence situation, and they would call us. And then we would right then and there begin to work with the client.
Now, Westchester County seems like it is such an affluent community. For some reason, it just doesn't seem like this kind of stuff, you know, should be happening here. But that's a fallacy, isn't it?
That's a fallacy. It crosses all social and economic lines. It really does. I mean, you look at the elder abuse case with the Astor family, and there you are. I mean, not that was physical, but it was elder abuse in terms of financial issues. But no, it doesn't. This is not an issue that just affects lower-income people. Can I give you a few statistics?
Yeah, well, sure.
Let me just give you a few statistics, because 1 in 3 American women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. 1 in 3. 1 in 5 women have experienced an attempted rape or completed rape by a spouse, a former spouse, a cohabiting partner, a boyfriend. Okay? On average, more than 3 women are murdered by their husbands every day in this country. These are the statistics that we work with.
It's pretty terrifying.
It's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And young women between the ages of 16 and 24 experience the highest rate of domestic violence.
And I bet you probably even haven't scratched the surface. I bet you don't know about the overwhelming majority of these cases.
There's a lot of cases you don't know about. But these statistics tell you that the people who are victims are your friends, your family, maybe your kids, maybe your sister. Who knows? Anyway, They're not good statistics.
It almost seems like a woman would have a greater likelihood of being attacked by someone she knows as opposed to someone on the street.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're speaking with Joan Miller Cohn, who's the director of the Westchester Division of the Pace Women's Justice Center. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this brief message. Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks, from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, managing partner of the law firm Littman Crooks with offices in White Plains in New York City. And I'm speaking with Joan Miller Cohn, who's the director of the Pace Women's Justice Center Westchester Division. And the Pace Women's Justice Center Westchester Division was formed around 1991, I believe you mentioned, Joan. So tell me, I mean, this domestic violence thing, it didn't just start happening in 91, did it? So what did women do in the 80s and 70s?
Types of services that we provide in Westchester simply weren't available. You know, a lot of these issues, if you compare it to child abuse, that wasn't properly addressed either 25, 30 years ago. So it's a question of raising the consciousness of the community and getting funding for these issues and getting people to focus on it. And it takes a village. It takes a village to address these issues.
And you mentioned funding. If not all of the services are provided free of charge, I presume the workers are getting paid.
Yes.
So where do they get their money from?
We get our money from a variety of grants. We are a not-for-profit. We are basically solely grant-funded. Although we do have an annual benefit dinner and we do accept private donations. But we have a variety of grants from the Westchester County Department of Senior Programs and Services, from the Westchester County Office for Women. We have federal grants under the Violence Against Women Act. We have, and that's actually through the Department of Justice. We have one grant through the Bar Foundation, the New York State Bar Foundation, that's generally it. We're grant funded.
Do these grants have to be renewed every year, or do you get it for a period of time?
Some of them have to be renewed every year. Some of them get renewed very easily. The Westchester County is really instrumental in keeping our programs going. Because, at least historically, they have renewed our grants. We reapply, but they do renew them. A lot of the federal grants run out because they want us to be self-funding after a number of years, and that's difficult for an organization like us.
I would think you would need to raise money from private donations in order to achieve that goal.
We would.
And if people wanted to give money, how do they do it?
They can call the center, 422-4069. They can send a check to the Pace Women's Justice Center at 78 North Broadway, White Plains, 10603.
And if after this half-hour show they still want more information, is there a website?
There is definitely a website, and it is www. I'm looking for it here. .pace. Hang on. www.law.pace.edu/wjc/. It's a long one.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so we'll give it to you at the end again.
Yeah.
All right, so the Westchester Division, does that imply that there's also a Bronx Division and a Dutchess County Division and a Rockland Division?
No, it doesn't.
Okay,
it
so
doesn't. The Westchester Division is the part of the center that's principally funded by Westchester County, and that's why it's called the Westchester Division. It serves primarily Westchester residents. The other parts of the center do, for example, there's a sexual assault training program, and we travel all over rural New York State under that grant, and we train law enforcement, judges, medical professionals in sexual assault and domestic violence issues. So that's a statewide program as opposed to Westchester.
So if a woman resided in the Bronx, she would not be an appropriate person who would contact you for these services?
She could certainly call us on the helpline, and we would give her whatever information we could, whatever counsel we could. We can refer her to organizations that would service her issues in the Bronx if they exist. But we wouldn't go to court in the Bronx. We're not funded to do that.
So it's only Westchester court appearances.
Right, right.
And
I'm sorry. We do some work in Putnam now, but it's
but still called the Westchester
still
Division.
Still called the Westchester Division, yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been with the center for 5 years.
As director?
Not. I didn't start as director, no.
So you worked your way up?
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
And what brought you to the center?
I started because I was interested in elder law, and there was an opening to do programs for seniors all over Westchester County, and we still provide that service. We do programs for seniors on healthcare planning, estate planning, Medicaid planning, all over Westchester. We help them fill out healthcare proxies, living wills, and that's what I started doing.
And that's separate and apart or under the same umbrella as the Pace Women's Justice Center?
Yes. Yes.
So it's under the same umbrella?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the services you provide to seniors and other elderly people is different than the services that you would provide to a woman who is the subject of domestic violence?
They are different. They are. Although we do have a new county grant that lets us provide a wide range of civil legal services to seniors who are victims of abuse. And that abuse may be physical, it may be emotional, but it also often involves financial issues, scams, evictions, targeting of seniors for a variety of problems. And we provide civil legal services for them.
So not necessarily physical abuse?
Not necessarily, no. Mm-mm.
And I understand you have a project going on with one of the local nursing homes. Tell us about that.
We have partnered with the Hebrew Home for the Aged in Riverdale, which actually is in the Bronx, technically.
Still local.
Getting back to our geographical issue. And we have opened up the first elder abuse shelter in the country. It is a model program. It was modeled after an elder abuse shelter in Canada, which is the only other one that we know about. And it gives seniors who are in danger a place to go. They can't really go to a regular shelter. It isn't set up for seniors who have physical difficulties and access problems and medication problems and that sort of thing. So it's a new program, and we do the legal work for it.
So what's different about the issues that seniors face as opposed to women of middle age?
Often there are more financial issues. Often the seniors are very, very dependent on the people who may be abusing them. Usually it's their families. Statistically, it is the highest percentage of abusers are adult male sons, often substance abuse issues. But that's statistically, that's the real issue.
That must be a tough situation because in many cases, maybe that person is also the primary caregiver.
That's right. That's right. So the options are limited. They're really limited. And often the seniors don't want to report the abuse. They're very emotionally involved. This is their family, maybe their son, maybe their grandson. They don't want to report this to the police.
And this is the person who's taking them to the doctor every week or every day.
Right. And taking their money or physically abusing them. And it's very complicated. It's very difficult.
Now, what strikes me as odd, Joan, and we're speaking with Joan Miller-Cohn, the director of the Pace Women's Justice Center Westchester Division, what's so unique about the Hebrew Home Program? Why hasn't that been duplicated elsewhere?
The issue of elder abuse, like the issue of domestic violence, has not been recognized for very long. It's again an issue of trying to raise the consciousness level in the community to the fact that this problem even exists. So the fact that it hasn't been addressed is not surprising because people don't know about it. Seniors don't report it. Up until recently, police haven't been trained to recognize it. You go to a home, you see a senior with bruises or physical issues, and you think, oh, they're just old. But that's not often that's not the case. It's something else is going on. So everyone has to be it's a question of education.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break and be right back after this brief message.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and I'm speaking with Joan Miller-Cohn, who is from the Westchester Division of the Pace Women's Justice Center. And Joan, we talked a little bit earlier about the grant and the grant writing and the annual benefit dinner. I know this year's dinner just occurred. Tell us a little bit about it, where it was, and whether or not it was a success.
This year's dinner was at Tappan Hill in Tarrytown, and it's a lovely place to have a function like this. We had several honorees, Mae Carpenter from the Westchester County Department of Senior Programs and Services, Judge Joan Cooney, who is recently retired, and the author Naomi Wolf. It was an evening that was very, very well attended. We also have a silent auction that's part of it, and for us it's a major source of funds for the year, and we considered it a success this year. We hope everyone who came had a good time. I certainly did. So
I can attest firsthand that it was a success, and I had a good time having been there, and I look forward to going to next year's dinner, and it's usually in the fall?
It's usually in October, and it's usually at Tappan Hill. We find that works very well for us. And
does the Justice Center take political positions and support candidates?
No. Absolutely not, no.
So whoever's in office, that's who we work with in terms of applying for grants?
That's right, yeah.
Now, you mentioned that the police officers receive training. Do the employees of the center also get their own training?
We do. We often provide training to the community, and if we hire an attorney who needs training, we're certainly capable of providing that training in-house or making sure that they go to the appropriate seminars, appropriate continuing legal education workshops. We also train law students. We work with Pace University, and every semester we have 10 to 12 students who work with us at the Family Court Legal Program. So we're training people who will soon pass the bar and be attorneys on all these issues.
And these are paid employees of the center, right?
The students are not paid, but they do get credit for the work that they do.
And once they come on board and become attorneys,
everybody gets paid.
Are there also volunteers?
We tend to have very, very few volunteers. One of the reasons for that is we really feel very strongly that women and anybody ought to be paid if they work. So we try to, if we need someone and we want to hire them, we try to find the money to make sure they get paid.
And the lawyers, are they receiving the training in the legal aspects of how to go to court and how to file motions, or are they receiving training in how to determine whether or not it's a legitimate case?
Both of those aspects, both of them. I mean, anybody who comes on who's new gets to work with an experienced attorney, and that in itself is training.
And I assume all conversations are completely confidential?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So the attorney-client privilege would apply from the minute the person calls?
That's right. That's right.
And even the mere fact that they contacted you would be confidential?
That's right.
Including...
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think that would be...
Absolutely. No, it's we don't give out any information.
What would be, if you had to give advice to somebody who may be in a situation of becoming or in danger of becoming a victim of domestic violence, what would you tell them?